Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Since the time you were very young, you've probably been told it. Our choices matter. Almost everything we do can have an impact on the rest of our life. Sometimes it's hard to see that lesson come into focus. But in the case of Wes Moore, that lesson is extremely visible. Moore faced significant challenges in his childhood growing up in Maryland, which we'll hear about shortly. So did another kid growing up nearby who also happened to be named Wes Moore. But their paths diverged, and the Wes Moore we'll hear from went on to write a book called The Other Wes Moore, One Name, Two Fates, about his own life and that of his namesake, who ended up in prison convicted of murder. We reached Wes Moore in March ahead of a visit to Milwaukee Area Technical College. Nice to speak with you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much.
For people who maybe haven't heard your story or the full story, can you share it with us in a nutshell? How do you frame your story as, and I'll put it in air quotes, the other Wes Moore?
Well, I think the way I try to phrase it, it's a story that that even though the premise and the hook is about these two guys with the same name who go in very different directions, the way I really look at the story is it's about much more than just these two kids. Or about one neighborhood or about one race or one socioeconomic group, but it's about all of us. It's about the decisions that we make in our lives and the people we have in our lives who help us to make those decisions. And the way that this initial story first started off was literally about 12 years ago. I just received the Rhodes Scholarship, and I was getting ready to head off to England, and my local paper, which is the Baltimore Sun, was writing this article about this local kid who just got this scholarship. And they talked a little bit about my past, my childhood, and how I had a lot of challenges coming up. But through the help and love of a lot of people, and a lot of people who believed in second chances, I picked a different aspect for my life. But at the same time, they were in the process of writing a whole series of articles about four guys who one day robbed a jewelry store and killed an off-duty police officer in this botched robbery attempt. And so as I started learning more about this crime and about this tragedy, the more I realized how much that one of the people that the police were looking for. That was eventually captured and tried and convicted and sentenced, that his name was also Wes Moore. And the more I learned about this crime and this tragedy, and the more I learned about the people who were responsible for it, the more I realized how much more Wes and I had in common than just our name. And it was that initial hook that really led to this larger exploration that not only did I learn more about him, but quite honestly, in the process, I learned more about myself.
Do you feel like, is it too strong a word to say that his story haunted you at some point?
No, I don't think that's too strong at all, because I think it did. In fact, there was a lot of people who quite honestly, looked and said, I don't know why you're still curious about this. Why do you want to get in touch with him? Why are you giving him your address? A whole collection of things that came into it. But I knew there were questions I wanted to ask, and I knew Wes was the only one that could answer them. So one day I just decided to write him a note, and eventually he wrote back, and eventually that one note turned into dozens of letters between us, and those dozens of letters turned into dozens of visits, and now I've known Wes for close to a decade.
The conclusion you draw in your book, and frankly it's the subtitle of your book as well, is that you and the other Wes Moore's lives could easily have been reversed, and that is a powerful message. How do you think, as you studied your own life and you study the other Wes Moore's life, how have you been able to understand your own resilience?
Well, I think, my own resilience is one thing, but I think, the resilience is premised on the fact that there were a lot of people who were willing to give me second chances, even though, when quite honestly, I didn't deserve it. There were a lot of people who were willing to believe in me in a way that I wasn't even yet prepared to believe in myself. And so, I'm just incredibly thankful for the amount of people that invested in me, that invested time and energy and resources into helping me out. And what I wanted people to understand is that, this is not a story of good Wes, bad Wes, or good mom, bad mom, or, one of us got sent away, the other one did not, or anything along those lines. Because the truth is, these were two kids who were both searching for similar things at similar times in our life. We're both searching for a sense of belonging, a sense of involvement, a sense of positive role models. And fundamentally what happened was one kid got it and the other kid did not. And then the world now bears witness to the final results of either our larger attention or our larger apathy. So in no way do I stand here and say that, I did great and it was because of everything that I did. I was very fortunate to have a lot of people who believed in me and helped me to understand the world is bigger and that I actually had a place in it.
This is really the comparison is Wes Moore and this really important, powerful support system versus Wes Moore who didn't have that stuff.
Yeah, and even though, you know, and for example, I know, you know, Wes's mother, she tried so hard she worked multiple jobs, she moved multiple times to get herself to better neighborhoods. I mean, she did so much. But I think, you know, we also have to understand that there, you know, when it comes to service and when it comes to helping out kids, that there has to be a two-generation approach to this. It cannot simply be about helping out the child or simply about helping out the parent, that there has to be a two-generation approach as the way we look at services and support. And when we do that, we're able to see a holistic response throughout the family that then, you know, reverberates throughout the entire, throughout generations. But we cannot simply think that there's going to be a one single solution to be able to address the challenges that so many people are facing, because for many families, the challenges are holistic. And the only way that you can address a holistic breakdown is a holistic buildup.
Do you think people are too eager to generalize from your story to how it should pertain to another story?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I really wanted to address in this was the fact that I believe that both Wes and I are very easy to caricature. We're both very easy for people to come up with quick and glib, in many cases, incorrect assumptions as to who we are and to how we got there. One thing I did not want this story to be is just simply another, something that just plays into prejudices or stereotypes or anything along those lines. But I wanted people to understand the human nature behind it. And this in no way is to condone activities or condone action. I've never once condoned the things that Wes did to get him incarcerated, and nor will I ever condone that. But I also do know this, is that, right now sitting in prison is a person who is smart, gregarious, he's interesting, he's interested, and he's made some horrible decisions in his life. But I think about, had his decisions been different, the kind of contribution that he potentially could be making to society is real. And that's what I wanted people to understand, is that we cannot be too quick to dismiss. We cannot be too quick to isolate, because we have no idea the kind of gems, the underlying gems that are sitting within the people who we are isolating.
How do you think your own understanding of these two stories affects who you are as a parent?
And that's a great question, because I think so much of my parenting, has come from, and for all of us, so much of our parenting comes from our experiences. And I think this has been an incredibly important experience in my growth and my development. You know, I think I'm a different person than when I was a decade ago when I first met Wes. I'm more introspective. I'm more thoughtful. I'm more thankful. And I think all those things play into the dynamics that I see within my own family and the things that I hope to instill within my own daughter. I mean, when people ask me, they say, what is it you want your daughter to be? There's a job or a college that I want her to go to. I said, that's not, there is no answer for that. I want her to be happy. But the thing that I really want her to be more than anything, I want her to be empathetic. I want her to understand that the world is not all about her and that she has a very distinct role and responsibility in helping to make this world a better place. And if she takes that seriously, then I have no choice but to be incredibly proud of her.
Where do you hope this storyline takes you next?
Well, I the thing that I know I want to be more involved in, again, there's no specific thing that I'm looking for, or job or responsibility or anything like that. The thing I really want to be is I want to be useful. I want to make sure that people can, within my story and between these stories, see so much of themselves, see where they are, and the type of impact that they can have if they simply choose to have that impact. The thing I also want to make sure I make a real dent on is this focus on education. I'm a firm believer that education at its core is who we are as a nation, and our national strength and our national vibrance will be determined by the amount of human capital that we can produce in this country every single day. If we're successful at that, everything else becomes just details, and we're fine. And if we're not successful at that, then everything else becomes just details, and we're not fine. So these are the things that I want people to understand, is as we're having these much larger conversations about who we are and what we're doing, we cannot forget about the imperativeness of this larger educational conversation.
Wes Moore, it's a terrific story, and I'm so grateful you shared it with us.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure, Nick. I thank you for the time, and I just thank you for for your attention to these matters. Again, there's, you know, everything else that we can debate and we can argue over, we can do that. But if we get this right, then we're on a path to just a remarkable future in our communities and in our country.
Wes Moore is the author of the best-selling book, The Other Wes Moore, One Name, Two Fates. He's a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, a former White House fellow, and founder of a Baltimore organization that works with children in the criminal justice system. He spoke with us ahead of a visit to MATC in March. Wisconsin fares poorly in a survey of politeness. What does that say about the state of etiquette here? Some thoughts from an expert when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.